That's like, there you go. All right. There's no way that God can do that. I want us to think about that for a minute as we think about God's bigness and God's greatness. He said it through Jeremiah, my arm's not too short to save. Some of you think about your kids that are wandering far from God. His arm is not too short to save. His arm is not too short to save. Some of you've got personal things going on, relationships, stuff that is messy and complicated. His arm is not too short to save. He is the way maker. He is the way maker. He parts seas. He parts seas so that his people can go through. And in your life today, he wants to part a sea. He wants to part the sea and make a way for you. So Jesus, we come today with all of our stuff. We come from different places. We come from different places. All of us, no matter even if we live at the same address, we came with somebody. We come from different places. Our worlds are complicated. And in this moment, as we sense your presence, as we're already connecting with you, we ask that you would encounter us. Just meet with us in a powerful, mighty way. Oh, Jesus, change our hearts. Strengthen us, encourage us, inspire us, renew us. Do all of the things that we need done in us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're seated, turn around, high five somebody, say, hey, it's good to see you here today. And yeah, there you go, right? Big smiles, big laughter. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. As you find your seats, we are excited about you being here. Hey, a couple of announcements. I don't know, did you get that announcement that's behind me there? Did you do that earlier? Okay, well, we need to do it every week. We need to do it every week. Hey, a couple of things coming up that are important that we're looking forward to. March the 10th is our AGM. Sometimes AGMs are something to be endured and suffered through, but Doug promises us that it's going to be exceptional this year with all kinds of really cool, fun things that are going on, marching bands, elephants. It's going to be like a circus. We don't know about that, but it is happening March 10th. Board nominations close March 25th, which is a week today. So if you've got somebody that you feel could be a good fit on our leadership team, talk to Doug. Don't talk to the person, talk to Doug, because it makes it more complicated as we walk through that process. That would help us a whole bunch. Let me tell you what's kind of coming next on a preaching schedule. Oh, hey, hot news. There's going to be at least one new member in church at the AGM this year. The lovely Barb Schindel has got an application form. So there's one. Stu McC... I can't, but Barb certainly can. Yeah, there you go. There'll be a reception after church, right? Yeah, there'll be a reception after church. Starting first Sunday in March, we're going to do a series. We're going to kick off a series called This Is What I'm Praying For, or This Is What I'm Praying. And as part of that, I want to give you a heads up. I am speaking prophetically. Listen to me in this moment. I'm going to speak and something is going to come into existence, right? Part of what we're going to do in that series is we're going to make this whole praying thing very tangible, right? So there is some process and structure and strategy to what we're doing with our preaching. So January was reset. This month is big faith, and it's all about strengthening our faith and growing in our faith. And next month we're going to put those two things together through a prayer series called "This Is What I'm Praying For," and we're going to have some cards for you by faith. Someone is going to design cards, a prayer card that you can fill out anonymously. We're going to have two bulletin boards, one on this side, this is what I'm praying for. On this side, this is what I got answers for. And how many of you believe we're going to see some answers? All right? I love this church, right? It's like sometimes you can just show up and do nothing, but you're all in. We're going to put stuff on that board, and God's going to show up, and we're going to answer. We're going to move it over to that board, and when it moves, We're going to ask you to tell your story about what God's done. And it'll be a time of strengthening and encouraging and all of that other stuff. So that's going to be a full March. And I don't know what we're going to do in April yet. I'm going to maybe let Claudio choose that series. He just laughs because he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to do that. So this morning, as we carry on with our Big Faith series, our title today is Go Big and Surrender. And it piggybacks off of what Claudio talked about last week. If you were here, you heard the end of his message, which really he just kind of freelanced, but kind of got inspired and freelanced in the moment. And he talked about the Sunday school rooms, the empty Sunday school rooms downstairs. And he talked about as he and Ruby have been praying, he said, I just keep getting this picture of those rooms filled with kids, right? And that picture has just captivated me all week. It's like those rooms filled with kids. And in the background, God is doing things and stirring things up to give us opportunities to work towards that, casting vision for that, and that whole piece. But I am just really excited to build off what he's doing. I love listening to Claudio preach. You never know what he's going to say, but I love listening to him nonetheless. It keeps it all interesting and exciting. So this morning, we're talking about one of my favorite passages of Scripture out of Genesis chapter 22. If you bring a Bible to church, you can open it up and go there, and this text will be on the screen in a minute. Or open it up on your phone, and you can follow along, whatever. But we're talking about that moment that window of time where God calls Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And there's an interesting thing that happens in the Old Testament. I know there's some people who go like, oh, it's the Old Testament, it's boring. It's like, no. You have to understand that the Old Testament is the foundation on which the New Testament is built. Like, if you're kind of more drawn to the New Testament, because that's where Jesus is and the stories of Jesus and, you know, the writings of Paul, and that's all really good stuff. But in order to really kind of fully grasp what's happening in the New Testament, you have to really have a good understanding of the Old Testament. Someone should say amen to that. You have to understand the Old Testament because it's the foundation of everything. And the Old Testament provides shadows or glimpses or types of Jesus all the way through it. So shadows provide an idea of what something looks like without completely revealing the project or the object. I need to be on the next slide. Actually, we're going to skip ahead too. So this idea of shadows, these things point us to Jesus. They give us a picture of Jesus. Now, the person in the picture isn't Jesus, right? It's just pointing us to Jesus. Did you know this? That there's something called the scarlet thread in the Old Testament. And there are over 350 prophecies, types, and shadows pointing us to the birth, ministry, work, and mission of Jesus. And if you're aware of that as you're reading, it's like, oh, this is so incredible. Look at, I see Jesus here. And the parallels, I mean, sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes they're just so overt and obvious. And sometimes they're hidden in plain sight and you just didn't know that they were there. And today, we're going to unpack the scarlet thread as it pertains to the story of Abraham and Isaac. So Jesus is the substance and the reality of what we're going to see in Isaac's life as we go through together. So let's pick it up. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abram's faith. Abram, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Now, we have to understand that there's two pieces here. First of all, God tested Abram's faith. On the one hand, growing in faith is exciting. Seeing things happen by faith is exciting. Being tested in our faith is not always that exciting. Frankly, sometimes it's confusing and puzzling, and we don't really know what to do with this. But God tests our faith. He tests our faith to see if what we say really measures up to how we're prepared to live. And it's a difficult, can be a difficult and complicated time. So God tests Abraham's faith. Now we know, right? We know what's going to happen because we've been around the block a few times. We know what's going to happen. Abraham has no idea what's going to happen. So Abraham replies, yes, here I am. Now this is a different here I am than whoever lives in your house, your husband, your wife, whatever, your kids. Where are you? You know, here I am. This is what happens in our house. Barb is upstairs in the bedroom, and I'm downstairs, and the dishwasher is running, and there's water running in the sink, and Barb and I are trying, we're trying to have a conversation, right? It's just kind of like, my ears were never that good, and they're certainly not that good today, right? Or it's like we're in the closet, and she's somewhere else, and we're trying to have a conversation. It's not like that. That's not where, I mean, God knows exactly where Abram is, right? So when Abraham says, here I am, the literal translation means this, I am at your command. Tell me what to do. Do you remember when God spoke to Samuel in the temple, right? And you know, he went to Eli a couple of times, and Eli said, no, go back to your bed, and when you hear that voice again, say, here I am. It's the same principle that's happening, right, that happens here in Genesis chapter 22. And then God says to Abraham what would be just terrifying. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. That's a little different than the tests that God throws our way. That's a whole lot different. And it's a very complicated test. Take your son, your only son. So, and we know that Abraham has another son. Abraham has another son named Ishmael via Hagar. And you know, that was, you know, that Ishmael's existence came out of Abraham's impatience with God. Ishmael's existence came out of Abram's impatience with God. So, gentlemen, I'm just going to say this to you. If your wife says, take my maid, don't do it. It's a trap. Okay, don't do it. It's a trap. Anytime it seems like there's a quick plan to solve what God's requiring of you or what God's promised to you, yeah, don't do it. Wait it out. God has a better plan. We don't need more Ishmaels. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, yes, the one you love so much. So it's, you know, the beauty of the Bible is it paints this picture of who we are and where we are. And it introduces this human element. Abraham is no robot. Abraham is as much flesh and blood as we are. He experiences the same emotions around his kids as we do. So God says, take your son and go and sacrifice him. Imagine the horror that went through Abraham. Imagine the confusion that went through Abraham. Because he's like, wait a minute. This is the son you promised me. This is the son that was born in very complicated circumstances. Go and sacrifice him on the burnt offering, or as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. It's a terrifying, terrifying moment. But here we see the first of Isaac as a type and shadow of Jesus in the scriptures. Number one, he is the unique Son of God. He is the unique Son of God. So we are all sons and daughters of God. All of us who have committed our lives to Jesus, all of us who have given him lordship and rule in our lives, we are all, the Bible tells us, adopted into his family. We are all his children, but there is only one unique son, and his name is Jesus. Isaac is the unique son of Abraham and Sarah, right? He was conceived through impossible circumstances. Sarah was 90. Abraham was good as dead, the Bible says. He's just as good as dead. but conceived through impossible circumstances. When I was sharing this with Barb yesterday or day before, whenever it was, that you know, the irony, or, you know, the contrast, right, between Sarah, who was well past childbearing years, right, conceiving and bringing forth a child, and you contrast that with Mary, who entering her childbearing years, but still a virgin, but conceiving. It's fascinating to see how this goes. So Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. So in the scriptures, sometimes we see sometime later, right? We'll see that. So it gives us a timeline. And sometime later could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. But in this case, we see that God speaks, let's say, on Monday, and on Tuesday morning, Abraham is up early. He gets up early, saddles his donkey, takes his servants with him, chops up some wood, and away he goes. Important lessons for us in this verse right here. Number one, he got up early. The easiest obedience is quick obedience. The longer I wait to be obedient, the harder obedience becomes, the more complicated it becomes. But early obedience, even if it's hard, it's still easier than if I kick it down the road. Number two, he chopped wood. I mean, can you imagine? I'm chopping wood to be obedient to what God is calling me to do. How in the world is this going to work out? How do we square this? He chopped wood. He prepared for his obedience. And number three, he set out for the place. He moved in the direction that God required of him, which is a pattern in Abraham's life. When God first called Abraham, come with me to a land that I will show you, he set off in the direction that God was calling him to go. He turned his entire household, everything he owned, and began to pursue God in a particular direction. So Abraham's obedience, even though it's messy and it's complicated, and he does lame things like say, my wife is my sister. I think that'd get me in trouble. Yeah. Right? My wife is my sister. But he obeys. It's a constant pattern in his life that even though he does foolish things along the way, the core of him is obedient to the heart and mind and word of the Lord. So they go off on their journey. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. On the third day. Well, where do we see on the third day in the scriptures? Where else does that phrase appear? Only twice. Once with Jonah, 3 days in the belly of a whale, and once with Jesus, where he rose on the third day, buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So 1 Corinthians 15:4 points us back to Genesis chapter 22. They're on a journey. Jesus was on a journey while that was happening. This types and shadows thing is pretty cool, right? Moving on to verse 5. This is amazing. This is where the rubber starts to meet the road right here. Stay here with the donkey, Abram tells his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Now, if there's a faith declaration ever in the scriptures, this is it. Stay here, wait for us. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. We will come right back. It's important for us to grasp this, that Abraham was making a faith declaration. Abraham had laid hold of the promise that God had given him, that he would be the father of many nations. And he knew that the hope for that promise to be fulfilled was going to come through Isaac. There was no plan by this point C. There was no other plan. So Abraham was making a faith declaration. He had heard God's promise. He believed God's promise. And in this moment, he was reminding God of his promise. I was fresh out of Bible college and was at a church, working at a church in Brandon, pretty good-sized church. And Brandon is a farming community, agricultural community, a lot of farmers in the church. And it was dry. It was dry, 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 dry. And crops were starting to burn in the field, and they needed rain desperately, and there was no prospect of rain. And my pastor just had a gift of faith, and he just believed big. And his favorite line when he prayed, was this: Lord, I'll try and wait. Lord, we remind you of your promise. And then he would quote whatever scripture it was, right? We remind you of your promise. And and so he's there, and it's Sunday morning, and he begins to pray for rain. That's like dry. There is high-pressure system. There's no hope of rain in the natural. Sunday morning, and he says, and Lord, we remind you of your promise. You said if we'd ask for rain, you would send it. So we're asking you to give us 3 inches of rain by Friday at 5 o'clock. And my young little eyes were like, you know, I'm doing the pastoral thing, hallelujah, all dressed in our suit on the platform. And I went like this. And you know what happened? That was Sunday. Wednesday, I'm watching the weather every day. Wednesday, an unexpected weather system is coming in. Colorado low or whatever it was coming in. Possibility of some moisture. And then it started to rain Wednesday night, and it rained all day Thursday, and it rained all day Friday. And they opened the news on Friday at 5 o'clock with, back in the days when there was actually live news at 5 o'clock, they opened the Friday 5 o'clock news with a line that said, Brandon receives 3 inches of rain. We remind you of your promises. So I have a question for you today. What promises has God given you? What if we just get right down to kind of the nitty-gritty of life for a moment? What promises has God given you about your family, your kids, your relationships, your finances, your health? What promises has God given you? And when was the last time you reminded him of them? You coming with me today? You daring to track along with me? We carry stuff in our lives. We carry disappointment. And it's like, well, I believed that this is what God was going to do. I felt like God had given me a word in this particular situation. And I dared to believe, but it hasn't happened yet. And so we give up, or we settle, or we just kind of go through motions, and it's kind of like, add that to the disappointment list. But what if God's waiting for you to remind him again? What if God was saying to you, would you just dare to believe one more time? Would you just dare to believe one more time that I'm willing to do something for you? Abraham was speaking in faith. So Abraham leaves his servants behind. Follow the imagery. Here we go again. Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. The wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. Here we come back to the types and shadows. Isaac carries the wood for the sacrifice up the mountain. Does this sound familiar to you? Right? Jesus carried the wood for the sacrifice up to the mountain. And you want to catch something really mind-blowing? It's the same mountain. Moriah and Calvary are the same mountain. If this isn't an object lesson of object lessons, Isaac, hundreds of years before, carries wood for the sacrifice up the mountain. Jesus carries wood for the sacrifice up the mountain. And as they're walking along, because Isaac isn't like 6 or 8. Isaac is because these guys lived forever. Isaac is like, at 20 years old, you were still considered a boy in those days, right? Isaac is like 20 years old, and they're walking along, and Isaac says to his dad, "We have the fire and the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" Abraham makes his second great faith declaration. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Like again, now we're not days away. Now we're a couple of hours away from the moment where Abraham is supposed to offer Isaac. And he's making a faith declaration of faith declarations. God will provide a lamb. There's an interesting thing that happens as we get older and our kids get older, right? There's an interesting thing that happens. Sometimes we feel like we have this responsibility when they're young to model and to speak life and faith and model principles and demonstrate that. But as our kids get older, sometimes it's like, well, we just gotta, now they're adults and we can't say anything anymore and whatnot all. And obviously there's a line that we need to walk our way through, but our children, young and old, need to hear and see our faith declared in and through our lives. They need to see it. There is no crowd watching. There is no worship band in the background. This is gutsy, painful conversation as they're walking up the mountain together. God will provide a lamb. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham had built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied up his son Isaac. Abraham's like 100 years old. Isaac is 20. I mean, this is, you know, from a physical strength perspective, there is no competition to what's going to happen here, right? Except that the son yielded. Isaac yielded. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son. It's intense. It's intense. Back to the types and shadows. The son yields to the will of the Father. Where have we heard and seen that before? The Son yields to the will of the Father. He lays himself down. He becomes obedient unto death. Isaac is in every way a picture of what Jesus did on the same mountain. On the same mountain. He is a picture in every way. Do you remember what they said about Jesus when they spit on him and they accused him in the court? Right? They humiliated him, and he said nothing. Like a lamb before the shearers is dumb. He said nothing. He didn't defend himself. He didn't try to make it right. He didn't try to bring clarity. He just entrusted himself to the will of the Father. And that is exactly what Isaac did. It is exactly what Abraham did, and it's exactly what God is calling us to do. It's exactly what God is calling us to do, to yield ourselves to the will of the Father. There it is. And in that moment, I mean, Abraham's heart has to be just pounding. He's one of two things. He is either sheer panic or he is full of faith that should he plunge the knife into Isaac's chest and slay his son, that God will raise him from the dead. Because that's the only option that's left. Right? It's the only option that's left. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "I am at your command. Please tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You've not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then Abraham looked, and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. Just imagine how all of the timing of God in this. The timing of God in this. Abraham and Isaac are there. How do you not notice a ram caught in the thicket? But somewhere in the tying up of Isaac, in the building of the altar, and in the tying up and laying Isaac on the altar, and all of that, somehow a ram gets caught in the thicket. God somehow directs a ram to that place. So he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. There's a, you know, we love these moments, right? We love these moments where we find rams in the thicket, don't we? We love the ram in the thicket moments. Look what God did. Look what God did. And you know, it's something amazing, exciting, incredible happens. Look what God did. But it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by chance. There's a provision principle that plays out in the scripture. There's this provision principle. Our obedience, the red washed out a little bit on the screen, on the back screen, but our obedience, what God calls us to do, combined with our faith, let him make all the noise he wants. There's nothing better than babies making noise in church. Everybody say,
amen.
All right? It's his house too, okay? He can make all the noise he wants, right? Our obedience combined with our faith, our confidence in what God promises that he will do, produces God's provision in our lives, how God responds, right? But it starts with our faith. If Abraham doesn't go up the mountain, there is no ram in the thicket. If Abraham doesn't go up the mountain, there is no bold faith declaration before his servants or before Isaac. If Abraham doesn't go up the mountain, it's all over. It's all over. The provision principle plays out in this way. First and foremost, it shows up in our giving. First and foremost, it shows up in what we do with our money. And you're going, how did you get there? That's very sneaky. Right? If you look very carefully, you can see the queen's looking right into your eyes right now. I will be very transparent with you. It took me a long time, even in ministry, it took me a long, long time to figure out this principle, to let Jesus control my money. This is his money anyway. But it took me a long time to get there. Every year, tax receipts would come out, and I had to look at it and go, hi, I really suck at this. I have to do better. And then God arranged some circumstances that ensured that I would take charge of this part in my life. And now, I love to give, right? Because I understand that generosity unlocks provision. Generosity unlocks God's provision. I'm not saying, hear me this morning, I'm not saying give so that you can get rich, right? Getting, like at this point for me, it's like getting rich would just mean I could give that much more, right? And it's not like, oh, I'm so, you know, it's just more like God has got control of that part of my life in a big, big way. And so I sow so that I can reap, right? I live, Barb and I live because people sow into what we do. They believe in what I do. And so they sow generously into that. And it's like at some point along the way, I was like, I have to be at least as generous as they are. This is not a boast. This is just the story of our faith. When we had a donor, when we first got started, we had a donor who gave $1,000 every second month, so $500 a month, which was like, oh. And I remember looking at their giving receipt every year. I wouldn't sign the receipt, but I'd send a thank you letter to everybody, and I still do. And I remember looking at that and going, one day, I'm going to give as much as they do. Which was saying something. I was making $2,000 a month. My rent was $2,500. So, you know, that was a big, big thing. And the year that we gave more than our friends did, I called them up. We went over to the house, had coffee, lunch, dinner, whatever. We went out together, whatever it was. And I said, I have to tell you a story. And I told them the story. I said, you know what? None of this is a competition for me. You have modeled generosity to me. And you have inspired something powerful and profound in me. And to be able to, by God's grace, to be able to have been so blessed that we could pour more into the ministry than you did this year is a testament to God's goodness and grace in our lives. It has nothing to do with, I gave more than you did. Nothing to do with that. But it's fun to watch what God will do as we step up and be generous. So I'm going to tell you that you will see at the AGM this year, you're going to see a faith component in the budget. As I speak by faith, amen, Mike? We're having lunch on Wednesday, so you will figure out what it's going to look like. But there will be a faith component in the budget, right? And that manna isn't going to fall from the sky. That manna is going to come from the people of God stepping up and sowing in and being generous. Okay? Nobody's going to be looking over your shoulder. Nobody's going to be twisting your arm. We're just telling you now, we believe the church needs to have a measure of faith. And as the church has a measure of faith, the people of God need to have a measure of faith. And the whole thing just moves forward. Because we believe we need resources to impact this community. Amen? Well, I wasn't as hearty as the earlier amen, but we'll go again. We're going to need resources to impact this community. Amen. There you go. Come on, somebody. Somebody. That was so good. We're almost done. I've been thinking all week about this. I wonder if there was a conversation between Abraham and Isaac on the way down the hill, where Abraham looks at Isaac and says, we're going to tell your mom none of this. Right? Right? We are not, do not tell your mom. Do not tell your mom. I took the boys to a baseball game one time. And we were down at we went to Disneyland, and Barb and Brittany went off to, they went to downtown Disney, and the boys and I went to a baseball game and went there, and you can't buy tickets from scalpers at Anaheim Stadium. You have to buy from the box office. And so I went, and they didn't have any seats in general admission left. And he said, but I do have three seats in a box. And I looked at the boys and said, do not tell your mom. We did this. Confession's good for the soul. That's a 20-year secret now. So. I'm riding the motorcycle home, so it's all good. It's all good. My other little fun moment was they had the Super Bowl last weekend. They had some guy named Usher doing the halftime show. They didn't even take up an offering. It's like so incredibly lame. So incredibly lame. I'll give you money if you stop dancing like that. That would have been my take. Right? I'll give you money if you stop dancing like that, but there we go. Anyway, gang, it's been good to be with you today. If you haven't given, we got a giving station at the back corner. You can take care of that on the way out. We will feed you and make you fat before you go home. If you've given up anything sugary, you probably don't go to that table. If you've given up anything sugary for Lent, don't go to that table. But let's pray together, okay? Jesus, you are our King. Thank you that you went up, that you carried the wood to the top of the mountain, and that you laid down your life for us so that we could enjoy life with you here and life eternal with you in heaven. God, as we talk about faith and we talk about how this plays out in our lives, help us to move past cute Bible stories and see that faith is very much where the rubber meets the road. And every day you're testing, every day you're calling, every day you're inviting us to see a new opportunity and to pour into something. and to follow you into places that we can't go or make it by ourselves. Would you let your blessing be on your people, on City Light Church? Thank you for this incredible group of people called City Light. Let your blessing be on them. Go before us today. In Jesus' name, amen.